Good morning, disciples. So good to see you guys up and around, mingling, saying hi. Youth, it is so good to see all of you here. Give the youth a hand. I love seeing our students in here. I am so excited for what God has for them this coming up weekend at Winter Camp. The last one I did, I put them in a very bad situation in cabins that had no heat whatsoever, and I stayed in the comfortable meeting lodge where there was heaters, and I'm still repenting for that. Not really. I felt the Lord in there, and I decided to stay there. That's just where it was. We're just going to jump right into it this morning. Amen? Youth? All right. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. You don't have to turn there for this. This isn't going to be our staple for the morning, but it's something that we're going to come back to toward the end. Just listen to this prophetic word. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God will himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from every eye, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" What does this have to do with chasing clouds? Well, I hope we get to that here as we go around, but just, it'll make sense here hopefully in a little bit. Most of you guys know that I like to fish. I probably use a lot of fishing analogies, car analogies, or golfing analogies, and maybe even some gun analogies here and there. Those are my things. I'm sorry, that's just what I'm into. So it isn't new for me to use another analogy, but most of you guys know I like to fish. I like the hunt of it. I don't mind the getting up early part. I don't mind the getting all the gear ready, especially when you're taking your kids and you got to clean all the poles and get all the baits and clean everything up and re-knot everything and get all that stuff ready. I don't mind the hiking around for a few hours to get the best spot possible where I think I'm going to have the best possible position to be successful. But as good as it is just to get out there, which is what all of us fishermen say when we don't catch anything that day, it was just nice to get out there. It was just nice to be on the water. It was just nice to go hiking. I mean, I just felt good to be outdoors. But I'm going into it every time with the intent to catch something. Amen? Every time I go fishing, I'm going out there with the intent to catch it. When I don't catch something, yes, I fall back on the, well, it was just a nice day. There's nothing worse than being able to see a beast of a bass. For fishermen, you know what I'm talking about. The 6-plus pounder that's just going around the cove taunting you. That no matter what you throw at it, it just kind of goes right to it to the point where you think you're going to get it. And then it just kind of snubs you by and goes around some more. I've had many of these things. My son's in the room. He can attest to this as well because this happened to him a number of times as well. I remember being at Rollins Lake when we were doing a little family camping and we were in this cove and there was this huge bass by the dock and I probably spent an hour following the stupid thing around hoping that one of my baits that I was changing out feverishly every 2 minutes would finally catch this thing. It got to the point for me that it was not okay just to have seen it. The story wasn't going to be good enough. I'm already picturing in my mind going back to the campsite to display the greatness of my catch. The story wasn't going to be good enough for me to go back and just say, "Hey, Ash, I saw the biggest fish I've ever seen here. I was this close to getting it. I was this close to catching it." I wanted to come home with the story that every fisherman wants to come home with, which is, "I caught it." We don't want the one that got away. We want to come home and tell the story that, "Look what I caught. I caught it." There's always an intention in our hearts when we're chasing after something, which is to catch it. We don't chase without the intent to catch, do we? We don't invest our time and our energy into something just to say, well, I'm really hoping not to succeed at this. Do you? I don't invest my time and my energy and my efforts into something just to say, well, I'm really hoping I fail at this. I just wanted to see what it looked like. I just wanted to see what it looked like to get to that place of achieving that. I wanted to get to that place of seeing what I came here to see. I just wanted to chase long enough to get close to it. But I'm really hoping not to catch it. To be a fisherman and say, well, it was fun to get up early and to buy all the bait and hike for an hour or more and not to catch a thing really isn't the funnest thing. For those of you just joining us this morning and you see the Cloud Chasers series logo behind us, and for some of them wondering what we're talking about chasing the clouds, I want to kind of just recap for us where we've been these last few weeks and where Pastor Stu has brought us these last 3 weeks. He started us and began in Exodus when the cloud appears to the Israelites, this leading of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then he takes us to Exodus where Moses enters the cloud. And as he's there, the people begin to rebel, and he's given this idea that impatience given room to run will always lead to unfaithfulness. And we've seen that in our lives as well. And then last week, we learned how in Acts, Barnabas and Paul were set out as a result of chasing the cloud, and that it wasn't done in a vacuum, but it was done through community. Which brings us to this morning, that these clouds, these points of direction, these manifestations go beyond just something to look at. Go beyond just an experience or something supernatural. The cloud that we chase, that he calls us to run after, is his glory. It is his presence. It is what we're all called to enter fully into. And the payoff, so to speak, in chasing this cloud is described in the Old Testament, is to be in his presence, being led to places that we've never been before. To be led to places that we've never been to before. To walk in his perfect will and presence. To chase with the intent to catch. Beyond just the seeing of the signs and wonders, but to catch where they're leading us. I hope this makes sense as we go along this morning. I hope that you start to see that these clouds that we've been talking about these last few weeks, these encounters with the presence of God, is to lead us somewhere. It's to a place that we have all been before, where we get to the verge. We get to the edge. We get to the pinnacle of where they were leading us to. And then there's this place that we get to that we stop. We've gone all the way. We've cleaned all the baits. We've brought all the gear. We've gotten up early. We found the plot. We hiked out in the mud. We've gotten there to not catch what we went out there to catch. I want to pray for us this morning in just a moment. We're going to be getting into the Word. And if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to start. We're going to start in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 23. And if you have your Bibles, you can start turning there. If you don't have one, there might be one under your chair. If not, you have a smartphone, you can download YouVersion and go to Numbers chapter 9. We're going to be in Numbers, a little bit in Deuteronomy, and then we're going to end up in Joshua. We're going to get to the Promised Land this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so excited, truly excited. I am, at least. When I think about all the things that we see in your presence, the things that we encounter about being in your presence, that there is something you are leading us to. There's a place to get. There is something to catch. There's something to embrace. There's something to finish. There's something to go after. I pray, God, that this morning that you would help us to see what that is. That we go from God chasers to God to cloud catching. That we actually catch what it is that we're chasing. Father, we pray that your presence would be in this place. We pray that we would continue to just, we would just continue, Holy Spirit, to ask you to have your way in this place. Not this building, you are here in this place, this heart. Have your way in us this morning. In your precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. We pick up in 15, it says, on the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud was covered. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel, and you can start underlining every time it says, would break camp and follow it. Uh-oh. And wherever the cloud settled, that's right, this is an uh-oh. Break camp and follow it. And then wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command wherever he had told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duty to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days. So the people would stay for only a few days, as the Lord commanded. Then at the Lord's command, they would again break camp and move on. Sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight and lifted the next morning. But day or night, when the cloud lifted, these people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the people of Israel stayed in the camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted again, they broke camp and moved on. So they kind of see the, starting to see this a little bit, right? You're starting to catch on to the repeated message here. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord was telling them to do through Moses. To be ever so present in his presence that when he moved, they moved. This is the start of cloud chasing, but let's call it what it really is. It's God chasing. Amen? It's what we're called to do even now. Jesus, who prepared the way for you and I to be boldly present in his presence, and today leading us through his Holy Spirit, that when we give ear to his nudges, to the signs and the wonders, that we look to the one who is leading us somewhere through them. Our stories in life change every time we get stuck at camp. We forget that that last cloud was just that one step. That the glory and presence of God is always leading us. But as we finish the story today, there is a difference, a choice that we all make on a daily basis as to whether or not we are actually going to chase, or chase with the intent to catch. Catch what? Catch his presence, which leads to his perfect will. No matter what that looks like, and we see how this kind of looked like to the Israelites and how he was speaking to them, and no matter how we are to do it and what our role is in it, but that we are invited, we are invited to take part in this perfect picture in Revelation 21, this invitation to be a part of God's redemptive story, the story that brings the Father and his children together. The story that makes that takes us from a relationship of just passing by to a relationship of being present and aware of what the Father is doing and where the Father is going. Like the redemptive story of Joshua finally taking the land, which is where I feel God leading us to end this series on this morning. In these last few weeks, Pastor Stu has taken us through much of the details from the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, all the way to the time where Moses was on the mountain and the people began to rebel. This is where the people stopped following his presence. And because of that, they couldn't catch God's will for them, and where they were getting stuck at camp. Have any of you felt like that spiritually, where you kind of get stuck in your campsite? You kind of get stuck in that place that you've always been before with God. You've been stuck in those decisions that you're having to make in your marriage. You're recycling the events that keep getting you to the same place in your finances. And it just seems like you're stuck in this camp. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, and you can underline this because I see this in my life so much, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. You ever had those moments in your life where, when I just talked about that idea of being stuck in that same camp over and over and over again, and you know it's time to finally get off that mountain. It's time to finally leave that place behind. It's time to finally continue to follow his presence to the place that he is calling us to follow, to chase that with the intention to catch it. You have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighboring regions, the Jordan Valley, the hill country, the western foothills, the Negev, the coastal plain. Go to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon and all the way to the great Euphrates River. Look, I am giving all of this to you. Almost as to say, there's so much more to see than what you're seeing now at this mountain. There's so much more to see than where you were two campsites ago. That campsite wasn't meant for you to stay there. It was meant to lead you to the next place. There's so much more to see and so much more for you to have. Go and occupy it, it says. For it is this land, the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all of their descendants. And then Moses appoints the leaders, as we learned a couple weeks ago with Stu, from every tribe. And then something happens here in the scripture that I've overlooked in the past. And we pick up in verses 20 through 23. It says, I said to you, you have now reached the hill country of the Amorites that the Lord our God is giving us. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. But you all came to me and said, first, let's send out some scouts to explore the land for us. They will advise us on the best route to take and which towns we should enter. It sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That sounds like a reasonable plan. But his ways are higher than our ways. Right? This is where the presence is leading us. That we end up at a camp and we say we should stay here because this makes sense, this makes sense, this is reasonable, this is how we should do it. But we forget that the cloud is moving, the presence is moving. And he's saying, just follow my presence, just stay with me. What you're getting ready to do sounds reasonable, it makes sense, but that's not what I told you to do. So it was at this time, in this scripture, as we just read, this time where it's time to stop camping, it was finally time to embrace the will of God and be a part of this promise of God being fulfilled in the Israelites, taking a hold of their promised land. And then I can only imagine how Moses is feeling at the pinnacle of what began from Moses at his cloud. Remember, his cloud was the burning bush. In the presence of God, where God began to instruct and call him out to get him to this point. This place that he's at right now. What would have happened if Moses just said, well, that's a cool burning bush. That looks really cool. I hope I see it next Sunday. Oh, no, stop. I got something to tell you to do. I've got something. I've got some instruction for you. No, I'm really good with just seeing that burning bush. That's going to get me through another week. Then it says, the men came and said, why don't you send out a few of the spies and see what we're up against, pretty much. And in verse 23, I underline this. This seemed like a good idea to me. I've never caught that before. You know, have you ever had a story start off that way? This seemed like a good idea to me. And then what follows is usually the negative. It's the bad story of what you shouldn't have done. But it seemed like a good idea to me. This seemed like a good idea to me, so I chose the 12 scouts, one from each of your tribes. This is going to be important here later. On the margin of your Bible, if you have a written one, or maybe you can take notes on your phone, next to verses 21 and 22, write God's will and plan. And then next to verse 22, write in the margins there, man's will and plan. I can't help but wonder what would have happened in their story if they remained in his presence, pursued God's will. The plan that they all knew was their calling. Like, this wasn't a trick. They knew they were to go take the promised land. To continue chasing God in this to the point of catching it. They didn't make a move until his presence moved. But now it's time to finish what they were there to do, and they began to second guess. They began to withdraw their faith. We see it in Deuteronomy 1, verses 28. It says, where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, reminding them that and in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went, you geared up. You prepared. You followed me. You saw my pillar of cloud and my fire by night. You saw the burning bush. You saw the Red Sea open. You saw all this stuff. And then it says, all the way you went until you reached this place. What place? The place where they took their eyes off God and began to use their own natural eyes to see what they had to overcome. This whole time they were following his presence, learning his will. They took their eyes off to send their spies out to see something, and what they saw was something impossible, forgetting that they've been going this whole entire time living in the impossible. Manna from heaven. What is that place that you and I have come to and we've stopped? That place that we've seen God leading us to, that we've seen the signs and wonders, we've seen the leading of his presence. That place that we've ended up stopping because that place where we've sent out our spies. We've sent out our spies to see whether or not it's possible. We've sent out our spies, our eyes, so to speak. And we've said, man, from the looks of it, that doesn't look very good. This doesn't look like something I can overcome. This doesn't look like something I can do. You're right, you can't. Because up to that point, you were following God. Now you're following your abilities. That place we send out our spies to rather than just chasing after him. He didn't say send out spies. He said, go take the land, occupy the land. Then it goes on in verse 32. In spite of all this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. Up to this point, the cloud had been showing them the way to go. Then they send out some spies because they're going to find out the way to go. We have a completely different story if Moses stops at the burning bush, right? Man, that was a cool burning bush. I said this earlier. That was a cool burning bush. Let me write that into the Things I Saw God Do journal. Let me just keep making notes of all the great, incredible things I've seen God do. That's awesome. Do that. I do too. With the intent to go where he's leading me to go in that. We have a completely different story if Joshua's generation stayed camped instead of chasing the cloud. But God is always inviting us into his redemptive story, amen? Which is where Joshua takes a people beyond the awe of the manifestation and the cloud and remains faithful to the will and plans of the one who has been leading them all this way through those signs and wonders. It's always amazing and powerful to see the clouds that God has put in our lives. Amen? And I have seen many in my life as a Christian. To experience his presence and to find ourselves in that awe of God, the awe of him. But those clouds were never meant to be where our awe ends. The awe of those clouds were to direct our eyes and our attention to God's presence and serve as a reminder that he is leading us somewhere through them. Do you believe that? He's leading us somewhere through them. As was in the story of God reminding the Israelites that he was, in verse 33, who went ahead of them on their journey, in fire by night and a cloud by day, to search out places for them to camp and to show them the way they should go. I want to see his leading presence. I want to see people come in here in wheelchairs and leave on their own two feet. I want to see people come in here with blind eyes being able to see again. I want to see the presence of God so heavy and so thick in this place that I can't do anything but fall on my face and be before God. Is anybody else awake in this place? But this is not where I want it to end. I want there to be something for me to catch in all of it. I don't want to go through the experiences and see the clouds only to reach the place that I'm to be and not continue chasing after God and his will to the point of catching it. I don't want to get to the pinnacle as Moses did and find myself not on the other side. I don't want to say I saw all the clouds but didn't find myself obeying his will for my life. I don't want to get to the point of catching that fish and then just going, nope, never mind, I got close enough. On my journey with God, better yet, on our journey with God together, I want us to follow God into places we've never been before. to that spiritual promised land in all of our lives. The promised land in our families, the promised land in our relationships, the promised land in our children, the promised land in healings, whether it's yours or someone else's, the promised land in our communities, in our region, in our world. It comes from being attentive to the clouds that God gives us to follow, whether it's a sign and a wonder or the written word or the spoken word, such as the prophetic one that we read in Revelations. It's knowing that it's his presence and that it's been given to us freely for us to chase with every intention on catching it. Not to just get us to the threshold of his calling and will for our lives, but to follow his presence to places we've never been before. Which takes us to Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And Joshua being one who is chasing something to catch it. Amen? This is a man who was chasing after God, listening to God. When the angels would appear and give him instruction, no matter what it sounded like, even walking around a building 7 times and then screaming at a wall to see it come down. No matter what it was, he was chasing after God's will in his presence with the intent to catch it. We see in verse 3 as they're crossing the Jordan River, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all of the Israelites set out from Shittim. Which can be a really bad, weird word to say when you're a public speaker right there. That could be rough. I was trying to catch myself on that one too. And went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. And I underline this because it's something we've been saying all morning, since you have never been this way before. You need to follow his presence. You need to follow his will. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I want to see those amazing things among us. Joshua, as we know, didn't just experience the clouds, the presence of the Lord. He allowed the full work of his presence to be done in and through him. What amazing things is the Lord trying to do in you and me? But that we've been content with just watching the clouds. We've been content with just chasing them to that place that we talked about earlier. Chasing them to the point where we only are comfortable enough to see them. What clouds are you chasing? And of those clouds, have you set your heart on catching them finally? What are you talking about? That cloud that he's been having you chase in your marriage. Of reconciliation and forgiveness and hope and love and grace. Maybe that cloud in your children who you're having a hard time communicating with and getting on the same page. And he's given you his presence to be in that so that you can continue to go past those little boundaries and be able to really speak life into that relationship. What are the clouds that you are chasing? And of those clouds, have you set your heart on catching them finally? What burning bush have we all walked past and we've done it? Those places where it was just good enough to say, God, that was cool. I hope I can see it again next Sunday. What leading are we not paying attention to in these clouds, in his presence? In Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 7, not going to read again, but that was a prophetic cloud that God is leading us towards. A prophetic word of a promised land to come. And a way in which we can live today boldly, aware of our part to play in his story, knowing that he is going ahead of us to show us the way to places that we've never been before. This morning, let's consecrate ourselves as Joshua did with his people. Let's dedicate ourselves to the full purpose of what his presence, his clouds are leading us to. Sometimes those clouds are just leading us to a place where we just are falling more madly in love with him. And sometimes we don't allow ourselves to get to that place. God says, okay, leave that camp behind because those we were doing so much. This camp over here, I just want you to fall deep, just more in love with me. That's okay too. That's a cloud where he has an intent. There's a will. There's something he wants us to get out of that. There's something he wants to do with us in that. Because for tomorrow, this afternoon, and in the minutes to come, the Lord will do amazing things among you. That wasn't just for Joshua. That's for you. That's for me. I want to invite the worship team up this morning. And as they're getting ready, we're going to do a few things differently. And it's okay. We're moving camp. He's taking to places we've never been before. That's okay. It's a quote by David E. Fitch in Faithful Presence. It says, "Presence is the way Christ rules. His kingdom and his presence are inseparable. Christ's authority and his kingdom are central themes of each discipline as he teaches them in Scripture. These disciplines shape us into his kingdom, which implies into his presence." Let's pray we become a people who don't just chase his presence, but a people dedicated to catching it. Not just okay with seeing it, but allowing it to change us and to allow it to lead us to his will through it. Let's catch something this morning. The spies are our eyes, only seeing what's in our way and the impossibilities rather than remembering that we have seen in his presence the capabilities of our Father. The Israelites, they got to that place. They've seen everything before. But it was in that place that they weren't able to get past. I think we do the same thing in our lives today. We have those places. We've seen the Lord's hand. We've seen him get us to that pinnacle of deliverance. We've seen him get us to that pinnacle of breakthrough. We've seen him get us to that place in our families where healing is right around the corner. But then we send out our spies. And God is saying, no, don't send out your spies. Go occupy the land. Go occupy the land. Go take what it is I'm giving you. Oh no, God, I need to check this out for myself. I need to get off that mountain. That mountain of doing only the things we see ourselves doing, where we don't belong there anymore. The camp has moved on. But I really liked how that old camp looked. What God was doing there was awesome. Yes, it was. It's leading us to this next one, though, and it's going to get even better. Are you with me this morning? I want to invite our prayer team, and I want that to include our pastoral team or our elder team, if we have any here in this service. I want you to come up front. I want to invite you forward this morning. I'm going to invite you forward this morning. Some of you guys are already thinking if you've been at Disciples for any amount of time. We usually pray in the back during worship. Yeah, we do. Camp's moved. God's calling us off those mountains. He's calling us to step out. And I know there might be a few of us in here that are brand new to this place. And I feel that nervousness, that man, this feels uncomfortable. It's okay. This is a church. Any church I walk into, I go with the expectation that there are going to be people praying. We're called to pray for each other. We're called to lift each other up. We're called to challenge each other. We're called to be the Joshuas for one another and say, no, we're not. I'm not worried about what they saw or what you see. We're called to take this land. We're going to follow his presence. The worship team is going to lead us for a bit. And I'd love it if everyone in this place would stand with me this morning. We have time. I made it shorter for this reason. Very, very specific. Calvin and the worship team are going to lead us. We're going to go after the presence of God. We're going to chase it, but this time with the intention to catch something this morning. It's not going to be, well, that song was great, man, I hope they sing it again. It's going to be, God, what are you leading me to right here, right now? God, what are you wanting to do in my life? What's that place that I've allowed myself to stop at so many times? Even though I've seen your hand at work, even though I've seen your love, even though I've seen your goodness, even though I've seen your miracles, what stops me at this place? And let's deal with that. And the prayer team is up here this morning to pray with you for those things. I want to invite you as the worship band plays, as we enter into his presence, as we are going after his will in his presence. If you're in this place this morning, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, there's that place that you just can't get past. Whether it's in your marriage or your finances, it's a cycle that just keeps coming back. Maybe it's as simple as none of that stuff, and it just has to do with not being able to get past a certain place in God that you've been before. Maybe there's this there's this level of intimacy you've not been able to go after. And maybe it's because you've allowed your spies, your eyes, to go, well, what are they going to think? What are they going to think? What are they going to do? What does this even mean? Why am I doing this? I'm scared, I'm nervous, whatever those things are. Stop sending your spies out to see if it's okay for you to obey God going after him. That was an amen right there. Morning. We have a prayer team. We have pastors. We have elders that we love God. Doing something different up here is taking them off their mountain. It's taking us as a leadership team out of our last camp. Let's as a church dive into this. Youth, I'm talking to you this morning too. I want you to get so passionate about your God that the kids that you go to school with can't help but to see the difference. This altar calls for you too. This place of prayer, this opportunity to dive in not just to a good song, this opportunity to go past just a good feeling, but to actually be with people who are going to be digging in the trench with you, praying with you, over you. Maybe there's a spot in your life where you've allowed your relationship with God to get to the place where you feel comfortable, where you're okay with, that you look cool enough to kind of balance the act. God's saying, I don't want you just to balance me at school. I want me to be the overcomer in your school. I want to be the one who speaks to you on a regular basis, who guides you. If that's for you this morning, students, I want you to come up and get prayer too. This is for us. It wasn't just for Joshua. There's a promised land in your lives. And you're standing at the Jordan River. And here's God again getting ready to go out before you to clear a path to get to the other side. Are we going to find a reason to camp? Or are we going to say yes? Are we going to say, God, I'm ready to occupy the land that you have given us? That land in my marriage, that land in relationship, that land in my addiction, that land in my, whatever it is that I need to overcome. Or like I said, simply, I just need to overcome myself. I need to get out of my way to experience a deeper and more intimate relationship with you, Father. Sometimes that's, I've had to be there multiple times. So we're going to worship. We're going to let the Spirit lead. As Calvin leads us and as we dive into worship, let it not just be about the songs you hear. And if you so feel compelled, come up. I'm going to be down here too. I'd love to pray with you. But find one of our prayer team or our elder or staff. Let us pray with you to get that victory, to occupy that land, to get past just the chasing of and getting to the catching of. Amen?
Set a fire down in my soul. can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. You set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. You set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you. We want more of you. Set a fire down in our souls that we can't contain, that we can't control. We want more of you, God. We want more of you, God. We want more. We want more of you. You set a fire down in our souls. We can't contain, that we can't control. We want more of you, God. We want more of you, God. You set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. You set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.